And he is awesome. We love him. We praise him. And we're here to draw closer to him as we look to his word. Hope everybody's doing well tonight. Hope you've had a good day, a good week. And trust that if you haven't, I hope that this will be a highlight and that you'll be encouraged tonight as we get around God's word and look to him. Now, if you're just joining with us, we are doing a study together based off a book written by Jim Berg, Taking Time to Quiet Your Soul or Quieting a Noisy Soul. This is the book here, and this is available on Amazon, Bob Jones Bookstore, and Christian Books as well. I think the cheapest I saw it was on Christian Books. But this is the study guide. It's not required to go through it. It is about $25, but it is worth it if you'd like to do a more in-depth study. It's got responses that you can give to some of the chapters that we're going through more in depth. Very encouraging, in fact. And so if that would interest you, please, if you want to take a look at the book, I have this copy. You can flip through it. But I think it would be a good investment if that's something that you'd like to do during your devotional time or Bible study time. Of course, this being written by Jim Berg, we're so thankful for just his expertise and his gift from the Lord in the area of teaching, in the area of counseling, the way he handles the Word of God. And I just have been so encouraged as I've studied his material in order to communicate it here with you folks on Wednesday night. My heart has been filled. And so thankful for his investment and his time that has been put into this. And we just trust the Lord to use it for his glory. Now, I will say this, if you missed last week, we do have those handouts available. In fact, tonight, if you just need a handout for tonight and do not have an outline, does anybody need that? Because we'll get that to you right now. Brother Jeff's back there with all the handouts. Just raise your hand if you need an outline or a prayer guide. Okay, right over here are the Browns, Miss Donna. Let's get those, appreciate. Just raise your hand just up there so they can get you an outline and a prayer guide. And there's another little handout that you'll get that I wanted everybody to get. I think I did have one. Yep, it's right here. So total, everybody should have three handouts: the prayer guide, the outline, and then some things that we'll share at the end on stabilizing truths for the noisy soul. So three handouts. If you need to go back and get you an extra one, we got ushers that are ready. Julie's going to get there. And the rest of you, if you would, just go ahead and turn to the book of Psalms. We're going to just briefly look at a verse we started out with last week. If you would go with me to Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, just please take your Bibles and go with me to Psalm chapter 139. Those of you that are viewing live stream, hopefully you can follow along with us in your Bibles as well. And someone asked me earlier about the outline. If we're at home, if folks are at home, you know, wanting to view it, there's a free PDF that is on the Quieting a Noisy Soul website. So if you're at online right now and you'd like to get a hold of that, just go to quietingannoisysoul.com and go to the, I'm not sure what exactly link it is on there, but you'll find it to a PDF guide. And it'll print out the outline. It'll show you the outline for tonight and the coming sessions. All right, you find your place there in Psalm 139, and just want to have a quick review here. And notice with me, I'm going to read these verses and then we'll pray. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. All right, I had my place. I lost it. There we go. The Bible says in Psalm 139, verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And we talked about that word thoughts here. If you hadn't yet, you can underline that word thoughts and put off to the side of it. That word literally translates disquieting thoughts. You could also put to the side noisy thoughts. Because that's what that means right there. He's asking that the Lord would look at my heart, Lord, and see what it is in my life that's causing all the noise, the distraction from loving you and serving you. That's what that word thoughts there means. And so he says, know me, know those noises. And then he's going to ask that he would be led in the way everlasting. Now, the way everlasting carries the idea of there is a way to focus on eternal matters. So there to the side, if you make notes in your Bible, but if you want to put it on your notes, that word everlasting, the way everlasting is an eternal view of life. Every one of us needs to strive to have an eternal view, focus in life. And so we see that. But then notice the other word here that we pointed out as just way of review. Notice what it says, any wicked way. That wicked way there can be basically translated and understood as ways of pain, ways of sorrow. And so when he says here, see if there be any wicked way in me, he's talking about is what is it in my life that's causing me pain? And not only that, and this is where we got to always be cautious, what is it in my life that's causing others pain? And so that is what Jim Berg has done a phenomenal job of doing in writing this study based on the Word of God, is how we can detect the noise that's in our soul. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord of glory, we do magnify your holy and precious name. And I just pray that you would fill this place with your presence tonight. I pray, Father, that we would be in tune with you and that you would remove all the noise from our hearts. And dear God, that you would help us to find victory in the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. God bless each one that's made it a point to come out tonight and those that have made it a point to tune in live stream. Lord, help us. We need you. Oh God, we pray, trusting you will. In Christ's name, amen. Well, last week we had session one, which was noticing the noise in your soul. And the first few sessions are around the topic of the way down. We got to realize what causes us to go down before we can start really emphasizing on what brings us back up and out of it and then helps us ahead. So we're still along those lines. And tonight you should have a handout. If you don't, we have those located in the foyer. Session two tonight is unmasking the source of your noise. Would you turn with me, please, to your New Testament? And 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to ask somebody for a drink of water, if all possible. Do that, Brother Jake. I appreciate that. If you would find your place there in 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read verses just 2 and 3. 2 and 3. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 2. Grace and peace be multiplied. You ought to underline that word multiplied in your Bible. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through, and you ought to underline this, knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And notice verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And you ought to underline this next part. Through, how do we get this this life that pertains to life and godliness? It is through the knowledge of Him. Underline that. The knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So the first thing we're going to look at tonight together is we're going to talk about the fact that the Lord of glory, thank you, brother, appreciate that, the Lord of glory has given us a clear path to unmasking the source of our noise. What is it? It's the knowledge of God. And not just knowing some facts, but knowing Him. Not just knowing about Him, which a lot of us do. But it goes much deeper than that. It's knowing Him. You know, it's something every Christian should strive to do. And we see that God promises that, and as Paul is basically praying for these, Peter is praying for these believers, he's saying, grace and peace be multiplied. Aren't you glad tonight that peace, both peace and grace, can be multiplied unto us? Not just added, hey man, I like multiplication. That's what I'm talking about, you know? And that's what the Word of God declares, is that we can have that. And I want to tell you right now, if you are a person that has noise in your life, you're not going to be a person who is at peace. And the goal is for us to always be at peace. So we see here it is through the knowledge of God. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Knowing Him and seeking to keep our focus on who He is. And so, number one, I'd like for you to look with me on the point number one in your outline is the nature of truth. The nature of truth. You have your outline there. Hopefully you can see what I'm seeing. I may add a few things along the way. You can jot them down. If you miss something, I will get it to you. All right. I promise you that. But I got a good bit to go through here. So we're going to continue moving. But we see the answer of the noise of our soul is the knowledge of God. And we find the knowledge of God in His Word, which that's number one, the nature of truth. Jim Berg made a statement about when trouble begins. I thought it was very good. He said, trouble begins when we either choose to reject something that is true. We either choose to reject something that is true, or we choose to believe something that is not true. Or we choose to believe something that is not true. So those two things are a fallacy that we often find ourselves in, and it will immediately bring in noise that we really don't want. So how do we overcome that? Well, we live in a world that you and I both know. We live in a world that says whatever you want to be true is true. But I want to tell you, church, that's not true. That's not true. That is what we call postmodernism. It's basically what you want to be truth is truth. And notice that Jim Berg gives a definition there in his outline. It says the definition of is here. Truth is that which corresponds to reality. Truth is that which corresponds to reality. Now, there's a couple perspectives that Jim Berg gives here. Corally, our proposition here, he puts forth, and we'll look at those here in a minute, but I think he gave a good illustration in his lecture on this idea of contrasting truth with fantasy or whatnot. You know, this time of year, there are two stories that are talked about often. One is true and one is not. Anybody want to guess? Yeah. Right, you do have those. Those are the two stories. Now, one is a story, but it's a big jolly man with a red and white suit. He travels around the world on December 24th with flying reindeer and goes down the chimney of every home in the world and leaves presents for good boys and girls, because he knows the ones that have been bad. But you know what? As we think about that, we all know that is not true. All right. That is more of a fairy tale. And quite frankly, there are different opinions on that. And as far as, you know, how we should follow that fairy tale, there's some that don't want to have anything to do with it. There's some that have fun with it. But the truth of the matter is, that's between you and the Lord. OK, I'm not here to talk about Santa Claus. All right. But what I am here to talk about is the fact that it's not true. But because, you know why it's not true, we may ask? Because it does not correspond with reality. It does not correspond to reality. Reindeer do not fly. Now, if you want to put that in the realm of fantasy, as Jim Berg clearly states, that's fine. But he said the problem is there's nothing wrong with fantasy and having fun with those type of things as long as you don't live in that fantasy. That's where we can get into trouble. And he used that as an illustration because that's one story. But then there's another story around this Christmas time. That is another story that is told about a baby boy who was born 2,000 years ago to a virgin woman by the name of Mary. He was born in a stable and he was the Son of God. His name is Jesus and he is the Savior of the world. Now that is reality. That corresponds to reality. That is truth. And that is something that really, really happened. And you know, as we look at understanding who God is, fantasies are make-believe scenarios that we come up with in our imagination. They are make-believe. And that is exactly what happens when we get noise into our life, is that we have make-believe scenarios that we almost make real in our mind. And it's just not true. And we get pummeled with life. We get knocked down. We get beat up, as we talked about last week. And those things are that really do happen in our life. You know, I think about these things, you know, and you think about the two different songs. And again, this is for sake of illustration. It's not sitting here saying to discourage anybody. But you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Now, what that is, fantasy. Now, let me sing another one for you. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's reality. And the truth of the illustration there is simply telling us one thing. There's a lot of things in life that come our ways that are just not true about God. But they bring noise and they distract us and get us to do things that we should not do. And I believe there's a lot of truth into that. Now you again believe what you want to about, you know, telling the stories of Santa Claus. As a family, the way we do it is we teach that there is a Santa Claus. His name is Mr. Jennings, okay? And I do encourage cookies and milk on Christmas Eve. I'm just saying, all right? And I do eat them, okay? But you do what you want to. But the fact of the matter is, we got to realize that as we look at the nature of truth, notice on your outline, it says here in the corollary, nothing can be true and untrue at the same time. Nothing can be true and untrue at the same time. You know, there was a Barna poll that was done, and some young people were asked, college age kids, and there was a quite a few actually that agreed that there was that this Word of God, the Scriptures were inspired. But then the next question was said they believe they were inspired, but they were not binding. In other words, it didn't really dictate their life. And that is an example of something of nothing can be true and untrue at the same time. Either it is the Word of God and it is authoritative, or it is not. And that's where we can get mixed up. And you'll see where I'm going here in a minute. Another corollary here is speaking, and nothing can exist and not exist at the same time. Nothing can exist and not exist at the same time. Now, this building, for instance, and Jim Burke gave the illustration there of the church he was at in Greenville. But this building that we're in right now, I believe, Brother Jake, am I right saying it was built in 1976, somewhere around there? Early 70s, maybe 73, somewhere around early 70s. So before this, the original building was about a few hundred yards to behind my right here over by the cemetery. And that church was built and started in 1803. Been around a while. And so, thankfully, the Stringers, Jake's granddaddy and others donated this land right here that the church is on. They donated it to the church. And that was back in the early 70s. But before then, you could walk out here. Probably this was probably a pasture, I would think, or just a small acreage of woods. I'm not sure what was all here, but you could probably just kind of walk through here. All right. There was a church building that did not exist. But then in 1973, under the leadership of Pastor Bill Carpenter and the church there, they were able to erect a building here, and it was built. And so if you came through after that point and you tried to walk through that same path, guess what? You're going to walk right into a brick building. And you might even get hurt in the process. In fact, you would. But then let's just say for some strange reason, someone said, look, I walked there before that church was built. Or if they just said, I walked there at one time in the early 70s and I will walk there right now. This church does not exist. We'd say, that is absurd. That's just stupid. Who would do that? Sadly, many of us do. We have a knowledge of God, but we deny Him and His existence in our lives. Many times we will say and word certain things, but really, in practice, we do not live as God who says He is. And one of the great dangers, and when it comes to this nature of truth, is getting away from what is truth. And we need to recognize, yes, the attributes, but not only recognize them, but believe them. And to see that who He truly is. That's why I believe in Hebrews it says, he that cometh to God must believe that He is. He is God. He is who He says He is. He's good. He's loving. He's righteous. He's sovereign. He's involved. He is a great and good God, and He's involved in our lives, and that is believing who He is. And I tell you, if we don't believe that and say, I don't believe it exists, we're going to get hurt a lot. Just like somebody that would want to come through here and say, I don't believe this building is here, and just walk smack right dap into it. It's going to cause problems. And so we see the nature of truth. Can you look with me very quickly to Romans? I wanted to draw your attention very quickly to Romans chapter 1. Flip back there in the... Romans chapter 1. Notice what he's talking about truth here, and the fact that it is that everyone knows truth, but must choose to either receive it or reject it. Notice verse 18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Now, notice that next phrase. If you don't have that underlined in your Bible, you should. Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they suppress the truth. They push it away. They have the truth. They have access to the truth. They have a knowledge of the truth, but they choose to shun the truth and to suppress it. Why? Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. Notice what that last phrase says. So that they are without excuse. You see, as your notes say, some things every man understands to be true through creation and his own conscience. And we see that clearly. I like what Adrian Rogers said. He says, though all men don't have enough light to save them, all men have enough light to damn them. And I believe that's a lot of truth, because God gives every man on this earth, every single human being born on this globe is given a certain amount of light where God is revealed through His creation and conscience. And I believe God reveals Himself more and more as people respond to that truth. But nevertheless, there is a rejection of it. And even sadly, as believers, when we go through life, as we're going to see here, and there are noise that comes in our life, we all of a sudden start denying truth. And boy, that's a scary place, is it not? We do not ever want to get into that place. And that's one of the reasons I've just thoroughly enjoyed this study, is because it's just reminded me of how easily we can get off track with the truth of God. And how that gets us off course more and more. But notice with me, not only the nature of truth, but notice with me, secondly, the danger of unbelief. the danger of unbelief. You can see there in your definition and both of in your handout. Notice it says here, a belief is what you accept to be true. A belief is what you accept to be true. Now, we all know that you can accept something that is not true. Okay? All right? Doesn't make it truth just because you accept it. But it does happen. We, as an example of Santa Claus, I was taught about Santa Claus and I had fun with it. I can remember even my cousins and I on Christmas Eve, man, this is back in the 80s, dating myself here a little bit, but I can remember us calling up and trying to figure out where he was located. What part of the earth was he located at the time? We had fun with it and everything. And but you know, there'd be a problem if here I am 40 years old and I'm still calling and trying to track Santa Claus. Let you know if I find him. You know, and the honest truth is, the fact of the matter is, we need to understand that we can easily be deceived. That is a fact. And notice what the definition of unbelief is. The definition of unbelief is rejecting what God says is true. What God says is true. And I liked what Brother Jim Burke pointed out. He said, you are always believing someone. Non-belief is non-existent. That is so true. Non-belief is non-existent. You're always either listening to someone else. You're listening maybe even to your own imaginations. Maybe you're listening to whoever out there. But everybody's believing somebody. And so what we see here, the danger of unbelief is trying to believe in the wrong thing. A lot of us believe in our emotions. A lot of us believe in our feelings. And that's what we go with a lot of times, sadly. Our emotions. And so that our emotions are not always going to be accurate. I mean, maybe I'm alone there, but I know mine are wrong a lot. The way my emotions easily show. But we see here that rejecting God and His words about reality is a problem for two reasons. Is a big problem for two reasons. The most serious problem of rejecting truth or reality about God is an insult against God. It's an insult against God. And so we don't want to insult God, do we? I mean, look at Romans 1:21 again. There, you're already right there. It's because when they knew God, get it, they glorified Him not as God. And when we do not believe in God and recognize that who He really is and all His glory and all His majesty and all His wonder and all His just splendor, we do not glorify Him, and it's insulting to Him. We actually can get to a point in our human hearts and minds where we are basically calling God a liar. And you know how insulting that is if somebody comes into you and says, you know what? You lied to me. You lied to me. Well, you know, we kind of, what? No, I did not. That's insulting. You know, or either you or, you know, one or the other, whatever way it comes, but any way you look at it, it's insulting. Well, one of the things we got to realize, going back to our last session, where's the battle? The battle is not in the feelings or the emotions. The battle, the noise is in what? Where's the noise come from? Yes, the mind, but what do we do with our mind? We think. So our what? Thoughts. The noise comes from the thoughts. So if my thinking is not stayed upon who God is and I'm trusting in who God is, the noise is just going to roll. It's going to crash. Remember, the noise comes from the thoughts. It's not the feelings. The feelings, when I rage out or just rage and bitter or unforgiving or resentful, those are just emotions that are resulting from my thoughts. I want my thoughts to get cleared up, to have thoughts that are stayed upon Jehovah, the Lord God. and who He is. And so we see here that that's a serious problem to insult the Lord. And number two, it's a problem because rejecting the truth about God begins the process of your own disintegration. And we notice that verses 21, we're not going to take time, but if you read through all the way through verse 32, the natural result of thinking wrong about God is disintegration of your life. Your life will just melt. It'll be destroyed. And I've seen it time and time again, and we must realize that that can be very serious. I like this quote right here. You must not gain your view of God by your experience, but by the revelation of God Himself. No, it's not in your notes. You must not gain your view of God by your experience. Because that's what can happen sometimes. Man, that's the fourth flat tire in 1 week. God must not love me. Instead of thinking, wait a minute now, that's my circumstance. That's my experience. Wait a minute. Let me get back to who God is. God is good. He loves me. You see, and we so quickly can get on this this cart of our horse, whatever you want to call it, that just basically runs away with thoughts of that are untrue, that are not reality, that are fantasy. Sure, you must not gain your view of God by your experience, but by the revelation of God Himself, which is right here in this book and through the person of Jesus Christ. That's who we look to. That is who is the revelation of God. So we see here, number three, under the danger of unbelief. And before I get into that, another instance that we can be guilty of is this: when it comes to not believing in the goodness of God, we come up with these scenarios in our life. And I preached on this about 2 weeks ago on the sin of covetousness, and that's something that I have really had to get a hold of, or I should say, I've had to let that truth get a hold of my heart. Because after doing that study, I realized how covetous I can become so easily in things in life, thinking I deserve that, or really I really want that, or if I had that, and this is right here, if I had that, I'd be happier. And so you got scenarios where people are got noise in their life, and it's saying this: boy, if I had a loving spouse and if I had more money, I'd be happy. Folks, that's fantasy. There's nothing in the Word of God that says that if you have a loving spouse and more money that you'll be happy. Nothing. Your happiness is based upon your understanding of God and who He is. Because He's an awesome God. And the Lord is glorious. And we think about that. That is not a reality. God says that we find our contentment in Him. And so number three, notice with me, under the danger of unbelief, you must labor to find out what is true according to God. Resolutely reject any deviation from it and cling to the things that are true about God. Get this: no matter what is happening to you. Is that in your notes? No matter what is happening to you. I underline that in mine. No matter. And I circled what. Because we all have what's going on in our life right now, don't we? I mean, just circle it. You know what it is. Maybe I don't. Maybe I do. But nevertheless, we all have those what's. No matter what is happening to you, you can cling to the truth of who God is. That's what we got to do. Sometimes the finances aren't improving. Sometimes the marriage is still on the rocks. Sometimes the test seems way too long. But we got to cling to truth. Don't get into the fantasy world. Cling to what you know to be rock solid. And that will help quiet a noisy soul. I think of, tragically, I don't know if it's been quite a year, but just in the past year, I believe, basketball superstar Kobe Bryant and his daughter and another couple dads and their daughters' basketball team were in Los Angeles flying on a very foggy day, very low visibility in a helicopter. And basically, this was a guy that had countless hours. I mean, he was well experienced. I mean, he knew what he was doing most of the time. But this one time that he was trained to do, he decided not to use his instruments that would have guided them above the fog and would have gotten them out of where they were going. They've done the research on this. They've done the Not research. I heard that was y'all quit speaking in tongues. So who said that? What'd you say? Investigation. There you go. Thank you. The investigation came back. Well, basically, he did not go to the basic controls and instruments. He was going off his feelings. He was going off what he felt at the time. And it ended tragically and killed all that were on board of this helicopter. It killed them all. And you know one thing I know in my life, and I know it's true to be in yours, if we do not go off what we know is true, folks, we're going to end up destroying our lives. We got to go with what we know to be true. That's the Word of God. The inclination of our hearts is to pull away from truth, is it not? Your inclination and my inclination is to pull away from truth. Just recently, I was driving my Toyota Tundra, and might have had something to do with all that wood I had on the truck not too long ago. I was telling y'all about, but boy, the tires were down. I was losing air, and there was a pull on it, and in my truck, and you know, it just wanted to pull in one direction, and you know, I had to get those tires balanced. I had to get them straightened out, and I did. But you know, I feel like a lot of times that's how life is. There's a gradual pull from truth. You got the world pulling us. You got the flesh pulling us. You got the devil pulling us. And we want to just get us away from truth. You know, wait a minute. Let's get back to truth. That's where we need to be. And then notice with me, letter C, the glory of God. We see the nature of truth, the danger of unbelief. But then let's look at the glory of God. Unbelief robs God of His glory. We saw that. His unique excellence is tarnished in our view. He becomes in our mind no better than the creatures He made. Weak, untrustworthy, unloving, unkind, and unwise. You see, that robs God of His glory because that's not who God is. The temptation, number two says, of the sinful heart is to exchange the truth for a lie. To exchange the truth for a lie. That says that in Romans chapter 1, verse 25. That's what they wanted. There was an exchange there. They had the truth, but they would rather have the lie because it just fit better into what they were wanting to do. And so we see that there was trouble because of that, was there not? There was trouble. The glory of God. It's so important in our lives. You think about Job for a minute. We mentioned him not long ago, did we not? Job got probably one of the greatest tests that I've ever seen from another human that we see, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified for our sins. But apart from the Lord Jesus, as I look to the to the Word of God, I see a Job, a man who went through just horrendous trials of losing his family, losing all his possessions. We know what happened there and how he responded and how he was encouraged to curse God and die from his own wife and how he handled that. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. What was Job setting himself upon? He was setting himself upon the attributes of God. He says, I will trust him because even though I'm being slayed, even though I'm having the worst time of my life, even though life truly stinks to me right now, I'm going to trust God. That's what he did. And then we see that his friends came. Great comforters, right? Great comforters came, and then Job, just like any of us, got a little testy, as Jim Berg said. He just got testy, like any of us would. He probably had a lot better than I would have. I would have been guilty of murder, probably. Not just man, but nevertheless, we see that there was a little bit of testing in his heart, and we see from the Word of God that it gets around chapter 23. In the book of Job, where he basically says, all right, I want some justice. This is going on long enough. Why is this happening to me like this? I have done nothing wrong. What's going on here? He started, I want some answers. And God in his patience is going to pull him through that trial. He's going to lead him through that trial. And when Job gets to, I believe, chapter 42, There's going to be a revealing of God to Job, and Job is going to repent. And dust and ashes, and said, Lord, I am guilty. You have given me a knowledge of you. And the key was in there was his knowledge of God, of understanding who God is. You see, the question for us in life is not to ask, why? Why? Why me? That's not necessarily the most important question. Although there are times I think it would be appropriate in the right attitude, but that's not the most important question. I believe the most important question is what Jim Berg states. It's not the why, but it should be the who. Why is all this happening? Instead, ask the question, who is doing all this? Who is allowing this? And we come back to God Almighty, don't we? And we say, wait a minute. God is in charge. He has allowed this trial in my life. He is going to use it for His glory because He's good. He's loving. He's righteous. He's sovereign. He's in control. And though, as we see, we could ask, why? But that's not what we need to ask. And Job learned that when God said, Job, you need to be fixed on me. You need to go back to who I am. And God brought him back there. And it's amazing what the Lord did in his life. Listen to this quote right here. And this is another one I can get for you, but this is a quote by Jim Berg. He said, Job's stability is directly proportionate to his willingness to believe what is true about God, no matter what is happening around him. I'm going to say that again. Job's stability is directly proportionate to his willingness to believe what is true about God, no matter what is happening around him. And so that's where we say today, we want to be stable in this life when it seems like life is throwing all kinds of fireballs and curveballs at us. We want to be stable. We want to get the noise out of our life. It's going to come back to our willingness to believe what is true about God. No matter what. No matter what. There's no question about it. Either God is who He says He is or He's not. He's either all loving, because you've heard this out there. Yeah, I believe God loves everybody. I don't think He loves me. Yeah, I believe God will provide for anybody. I don't think He'll provide for me. And we can go down the line and think about that. But that's truly fantasy. That's not what God wants us to center upon. Notice with me quickly as we close. Letter D, we'll be looking at these more in detail through our study. But notice letter D. These are truths that bring stability. Stabilizing truths for noisy souls. And it's talking about the knowledge of God. Does everybody have that printout? Can you hold it up for me just so I can see everybody? Okay. All right, please. I'm going to make copies of these. We're going to have more, but please keep this in your Bible. And what this is, let's just look at these quickly together. These are the truths that are going to push out those fantasies that come in our mind about who God is and doubting Him and the things in our life that aren't true, that pertain to God. We want that which is going to stabilize us. Number one, God is always good. Let's say that together. God is always good, always. Let's say it. God is always good, always. So what does that mean, that God is always good? That means, number one, He will always meet my genuine needs. Always. It means, number two, He will always forgive my sin. Always. Praise God. I never have to worry about God waking up on the wrong side of a bed. I never have to worry about God being grumpy and holding a grudge against me. But when I come to God and confess my sin, no matter what, He's always there to forgive me. He's always there to cleanse me and give me a new start. Always. And if I get into the fantasy world that, oh, I've done too wrong, oh, He won't forgive me for this one. Oh, God hadn't forgiven me for that yet. You know, it's just gonna hurt us. We see that He is always up to something good in my life. Always. God is always up to something good in your life. Do you believe that right now? If you in some way in your life right now do not believe that God is up to something good, I'm telling you, you got noise. That's crowding it out. And it's going to distract you, and it's going to handicap you in your spiritual growth. He always, letter D, He will always love me personally. Always. Amen. He will always give me the grace I need. Always. You mean, Lord, you mean no matter what, you're going to give me grace to go through this? Always. No exceptions. And if I don't believe that about God, now I can say I believe it, but do we really believe it? Is it one of those things where it's a fantasy thing? Where we acknowledge it, but, you know, it just does not take root in our hearts. We see that not only is God always good, but number two, we're going to say this one together too. God is always great, always. Let's say it together. God is always great, always. You know, we teach kids from a young age to say the prayer at the table. God is great. God is good. Now, a lot of times when we go through life and we grow up as adults, it's just, and that's what Brother Berg is getting at. A lot of times those things just become words. Do we really believe God is completely great, omnipotent? Like there's never a day where He lacks all power? Do we believe that He is good always? Notice what it says. We believe that He's always great. That means He's always in control of all things. Always. Always. Hey, listen, can I just say a few things here onto the side to encourage us? God is always in control, even in presidential races. God's in control. Hey, God's in control even when a pandemic called COVID-19 comes in. God's in control even when there's vaccines coming out that are striking fear into people. And sometimes rightly so, where there's concern, but is a vaccine going to come up and throw the sovereign plan of God off the tracks? I declare absolutely not. Because my God's in control. And though there's lots of conspiracy theories out there, and by the way, conspiracy theory lovers, can I just tell you something here? That is noise. Oh, he's done gone to preaching now. Stick to the book, ladies and gentlemen. Let's stick to the truth of the Word of God and not believing every little website and every little thing that comes out. I'm telling you right now, I'm sticking to what I know to be true. That's going to push out the noise in our life. We need that. We know that God is in control always. No one's going to derail His sovereign plan. No one. No thing. No one. He is always present with me. Always. He is always the same. Always. He is always trustworthy. Always. He is always wise in what He does. Always. Now listen, let me tell you something about these truths. We need to start memorizing these truths. If you haven't gotten all these verses memorized, I hope that you will at least attempt to start memorizing some of these verses that talk about who God is. The truth of who God is. And notice what the study encourages us to do. It says labor, labor, labor to know these truths. Look up these verses that are here. Memorize these verses that support all these truths. Meditate on them. Fellowship with others around this truth. Test every stray thought by your heart by these truths. And don't despise preaching about these truths. And as he said here, to reject them is to believe a lie. We don't want to believe a lie. Unbelief is the primary cause of the noise in your soul. You do not yet see that God Himself is more than enough for you, is what it says there in the conclusion. So, my friends here, as we look to God's Word, I'm asking the source of your noise. We must come back that it is as a result of not knowing God and believing who He says He is. And so, with the Lord's help in the coming days, as we look upon these truths, I believe the noise will be leaving us. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to a noisy-less life. Amen. But we got to stick to the Word of God, and we got to stick to the truth of His Word. Let's pray.